Praise God. This is our June woman seminar. I think we have like maybe two or three left in the year. So it would be really, really awesome if you can make a commitment to yourself that you're going to continue strong, that you're going to be here for every one of these. I don't know how to explain what's happening to me, at least. I can't speak for Pastor, but I know because we talk a lot, he and I, we fellowship during our downtimes. And, you know, the word is taking on an unprecedented deeper level. It's coming alive. It's meaning so much more to us. And it's like the Holy Spirit is just unveiling and unveiling and unveiling. And I pray that that happens tonight. Amen. For all of us. So we're going to just dive in because we have a lot to cover. So let me explain something very quickly because I want you to understand me. I am a minister. I am called of God to minister to his people. And, you know, he gives each of us an anointing to get the job done. God is very careful to balance everything out. He's got teachers, he's got prophets, he's got evangelists, he's got all kinds of gifts in the church. And I am a teacher, and one of the things that I carry is an exhortation. And I can't help it. I've always been this way. Even as a kid, I remember where I try to encourage, I try to entreat. Sometimes I even pull you a little bit so that we can keep going with God. Amen. And in Psalms 31, the mother of the king is talking to her son, and she says, son, she gives him this powerful advice. It's at the very beginning of Proverbs 31. And she's literally feeding strength into her son. And women, we are not without strength. We are not without a powerful anointing. We, like I will continue to tell you, you are as important as any man. However, our particular duties on the earth, our callings, our anointings are different from men. The way we're going to execute our end of the duties God calls in a family is going to be different from our men. But we are no less important. Any family that lacks a mother or lacks a father is going to be lopsided. So this is why you can see the importance of each role. And God has called me now to start unleashing a particular kind of strength and power. The words that the scriptures that I'm going to be bringing forth, I don't know if you know this about the word, but it is absolutely the truth. We've come to bear it out over the years that when you find a scripture, when you read a scripture and you start to meditate on it, you start to hang on to it, you start to claim it for yourself, that particular scripture is pregnant with its own ability to bring itself to pass in your life. Every scripture that we find, like who himself, 1 Peter 2:24, who himself bore our sins on his body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. When you stand on that scripture, when you meditate on that scripture, it's going to be pregnant with its ability to come to pass in your life. So the scriptures that I'm going to be bringing, some of you may think that this is strong, and it is intentionally strong, because we've got to stir up, we got to rouse up the sleeping virgin. There's a reason for the parable of the 10 virgins, right? 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. But what happened to all of them? They were in a state of slumber. The good thing is that the ones that fell asleep eventually, that were the wise virgins, happened to have themselves ready. They had the oil in the lamp. So, you know, what I'm supposed to be doing is helping you wake up. Wake up. We were all in a slumber, especially after the pandemic. That thing broadsided us. It took us out of our, if you want to say it this way, spiritual game. And we're regrouping, we're gaining ground, and then we're going to not only catch up to where we should be, but we're going to go further than that, amen? Because that's what the wise virgin will do. So I am going to be speaking to you strength. It's going to be strong. But I promise you, this is how Pastor and I got established through these scriptures. We've been hindered in a way from teaching some of these scriptures because, you know, people do get offended, you know. And our church, you know, has certainly, the people in the church have met their challenge in that, oh my God, you know, this is too strong. Oh my God, this is too radical. Oh my God, this is, I can't deal with this. I'm barely hanging in there with my own family and my own life. So we've had to go easy to a degree. Pastor, I wish you would have all known him in the early days. I would say for the first 10 years, this man was nothing but a ball of fire for God. Very fiery, very strong, very powerful. And, you know, through certain situations, he had to pull back some. But if we had allowed his ministry to just flow, we would be so much further ahead. But I can guarantee you, we'd be half the church even that we are now. So we have to get used to strength. We have to get used to the word. We have to get used to what it's telling us and not get offended and say, you know what? It's in the word. I myself have read it in the word. So I know it's in the word. Pastor Eva's not teaching us something that's not of God. It's all of God. And then you set yourself to embrace it, to do it. Amen. And I guarantee you, some remarkable results. This is all encompassing on your spiritual life, where it's going to help you with whatever calling God gave each and every one of you. It's going to help you increase in your anointing. The strength of the word is everything, people. Paul said, for the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. Amen. And if we are part of God's kingdom, we're going to step into that power now more than ever. Amen. I am starting to hear some lovely testimonies. I was talking to a young man who was telling me that he's getting on fire for God, spending time with God, worshiping God, kneeling before God, turns off the lights and just kneels before God and starting to see some radical stuff happening, some real miracles. Amen. That's exactly what we want to hear, amen, that you are eventually stepping into your role as a part of the body of Christ, as God's child, and so on. So let's get started. The next chapter of your life is called Healthy and Happy, period. That's the vibe from this day forward. So I want you to set yourself to start speaking those two words over yourself, amen. I am healthy and I am happy. I am healthy and I am happy. And really, happy is a feeling. What we're really going after is joy. Amen. Joy is a spiritual force. That's something that God gives you. Happiness is conducive. I mean, it's dependent a lot on what's going on in your life, who's loving you. You know, everything's going perfect. That's happiness. Maybe you have a lot of money in the bank and you think that's happiness, whatever it is. And happiness really has to do with our exterior world, whereas joy comes from our spirit. Joy is something that comes out of our spirit, whereas happiness is something we look for out here. But for by your words, Jesus said this, for by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. So going forward, be very careful what you're speaking, amen? Because whatever you're speaking is what you're going to live. You are either going to be justified, which means proved to be right, proved to be righteous, or you're going to be condemned because, you know, you're going to get up to heaven and say, God, I had a miserable life. Why did you pick on me? Why did you come to me and give me this huge cross to bear all my life? And then God's going to show you all the times that you confessed those very things. Amen. So start operating, moving towards your complete transformation here into the new creation by using your words a lot. I am healthy. I am strong. I am anointed. I am favored. God loves me. Begin to confess in the direction that you want the rest of your life to follow. Praise God. The challenges in front of you are never bigger than the lion who lives within you. You may think, there's no way I can do this. I don't even have time for myself. How can I even have time for God right now? And people, that's the normal course of humanity. For the most part, people schedule God in to their little busy lives or to their little comfortable lives or to their little, you know, agendas, whatever it is they're doing. But for us as believers, it's got to be the complete opposite. Amen. Because what you're going to find as you set yourself to overcome, and people, I love you. So I'm going to tell you the truth. The greatest thing you will ever overcome on this earth is you. You. You are the mountain that is set before you. You and all of our traumas, our past, our victimization, our anger, our frustration, our unforgiveness, you know, our selfishness, egocentricity, narcissism, all of that is what we have to overcome. But don't worry about, oh my God, will I ever get there? I used to wonder that in the early, early days. How am I ever going to fit into this person that I'm supposed to become? And you know what? All you have to do is take one day at a time. Start doing it. It's doable, or God wouldn't ask you to do it. Remember, God does not ask you to do any more than you are able to handle. Glory to God. So this scripture, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you? The Holy Spirit is in you. The very Spirit of God, God's Spirit, is in you. What is God capable of doing? The most miraculous, the most incredible, amazing, powerful, staggering things. Guess what? He's in you. And he's not in you to hijack, what do you call that when you ask for a ride?
Hitchhike.
That's it. He's not hitchhiking in your person. He is there for a reason, and that reason is to impart, infuse into you what he is, little by little as you continue to grow. So do you not know that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? God gave you this Spirit. It's yours, and you are not your own. Now, that's the whole crux of this message, is that we are not our own. We think we are. The world teaches us we are. It teaches us that go and find out what's going to make you happy. Go and find out what career you want. Go and find out where you want to live. Go and find out the kind of person you want to be. Go and find out. Do you? That's a famous thing. Do you? Well, we're going to find out that that's completely the opposite of what God is expecting. Amen. So we are not our own anymore. If Jesus is your Lord, then you are not your own anymore. Amen. Christ gave himself on the cross for you. You are to go to the cross and give yourself for him. Amen? It's the great exchange. I hold the keys to life and death and all power. I am the one true living God. So you are the daughter of this king right here. One day you're going to stand before him and you are going to be in awe and reverence, and probably on your face for the first 10,000 years. Because he is the King of Kings over all life and death. He holds the key to that. And he has all power. Amen? And that's the king that we are starting to identify with. We are to identify that this is my Father. This is my King. I am a daughter of this king. Amen. And for those men that have joined us, you are the son of this king. Glory to God. God is sending us this message because we're running out of time. We are running out of time. I don't know if you've heard recently, this is not a political thing. I'm just telling you what's happening. I'm sure you know it. It's all over the news that Israel has preemptively attacked Iran, and they've done some very serious damage, and there's just a lot of stuff happening. A lot of ministers are literally quoting scriptures of what it is confirming. ministers are scrambling right now because the word of God is literally coming to pass. All the prophetic things that God has spoken to us about the end of times is coming to pass verbatim as he spoke them. Amen. So yeah, it's we are running out of time, you know, and I don't know about you. For me, for instance, I'm 73 years old and I look at myself and I think, you know what? Whether the rapture happens in the next 10 years, the next 5 years, the next year, the next month, I don't think so, but soon, or I end up going home to be with the Lord, I'm very close to that no matter what. We are all running out of time, amen? And this is it. Now is your time. If you're going to get this right with the Lord, it has to be done now, daily. Daily make advance. Daily take a little, even if it's one more scripture forward, even if it's one more step of, today I'm going to believe God for this. Today I'm going to do this in the name of the Lord. Amen. So next is, it is the new creation that it is in the new creation that we will experience covenant with God unleashed in every way. And this is very important, people. People, if you're interested at all in covenant with God, you have to read the word. Because, you know, in this day and age, covenant has been looked at as God making you rich, or God prospering you, or God giving you that car, or God giving you that house, or God giving you this kind of life. We've looked at covenant that way, but covenant always, always starts with us becoming partners with God, submitting to God, bowing our knee to God. God is not concerned about anything external that we're building, people. More power to you if you have the intelligence, you chose a good, honest career, you made some good money from your hard living. That's a beautiful thing. That's a God thing. But to think that covenant is what you're waiting for to make you rich is almost an abomination to me, because covenant is very holy and it comes in the new creation when we are in the process of transforming from the old man to the new man. Amen. That's the person that God makes covenant with. Someone that is saying, you know what, going forward, I don't care if I have trillions of dollars. I don't care if I have $0. I'm going for God. God is everything to me now. Amen. So the last one is, we must decide if we are in or out of the path of the true believer and the wise virgin. You're either in or you're out, because God's moving. And if you can't hear that God is calling all of us to get ready to start taking him seriously, people, then I don't know what to tell you. You know, a lot of people have a misunderstanding that the rapture, I've already said my magic words. I know that I'm going to heaven. I know that God loves me. Well, God loves you. He loves the worst sinner. I can tell you that he probably loved Hitler to a certain degree because he created him. You know, Hitler chose a path. We're all choosing our own paths, and he ended up where he belongs. Amen. But honestly, people, make the decision that I'm in the path and I'm going to stay in the path. Amen. Yeah, the body of Christ got poisoned by a lot of milk teaching, a lot of prosperity teaching, a lot of just erroneous doctrines that came in. And there's a purity, a holiness, a single-heartedness in walking with God. Amen. It's not flamboyant. It's not external at all. Our calls are internal. Our walk with God is internal. Amen. And, you know, God would rather any of us say, I went out and got five people born again on Saturday, than to say, guess what? I just got $1 million from the stock market or something like that. You know, that's what God wants. There's two kingdoms, this world and God. And, you know, certainly you want to be blessed in this life. I am not by any means saying that poverty is of God. I'm not saying that God will never bless you. I'm not saying that. But we got to bring a balance back, Because we thought, I cannot tell you, over the years of almost 50, being in ministry, ministers themselves, oh my God, minister, this, I remember this pair of ministers that we knew. This was when we were out in Palm Springs. And all of a sudden, you know, I mean, they were doing great. They were holding these huge camps, youth camps, came from all over the United States. We were part of it. I was a counselor. I mean, we were very involved with this ministry. We loved them. You know, they were almost our age, maybe a little bit older than us. But at the time, you know, we were pretty young. I was like in my early 30s, and Bill was, you know, the same. So I remember that all of a sudden, you know, they started changing. They started behaving a little bit differently. And, you know, I would see them at church sometimes. I would talk to them. I actually would ride in with her sometimes to work. So, you know, we got a little close. And she started changing like crazy. And I'm like, what's going on? And they started departing further and further from the actual ministry that they had. And then one day she told me, she goes, you got to come see our house. And I said, oh, you've got a house. That's awesome. And she said, yeah. She goes, this very rich couple have really changed our lives. I mean, they are leasing this house for as indefinitely as long as we want. It's a huge house, very beautiful. They gave us a car that was very expensive. She was wearing all these brand new clothes and so on. And then she told me, she said, look how God is blessing us. And at first I'm like, oh my God, that is so wonderful. I'm so blessed for you. And this was in the early days when the prosperity movement was really hardcore. And so I was like, oh wow, that's wonderful. That's awesome. And then I started noticing the person changed from being this lovely servant of God that would pour out her life for the youth and for church and so on. She started getting a little uppity. She started changing. She started acting like she was somebody. And before we knew it, they walked away from ministry. So every time we think that God is prospering us, you better double check on that, amen? Because when God blesses you, let's say prosperity was, let's say in finances, you're going to become a very generous giver. You're going to be a giver because God is giving you through the open hand God puts in and you to put out. Amen. And you're also going to be very humble. You're going to be closer to God. You're going to love God more when it is the blessing of God. If you don't believe me, check out Moses and his covenant. Check out Abraham and his covenant. And check out people that are really walking with God in their covenant with God. Amen. Glory to God. Truths for our new foundation. God wants you free. Why? So you can choose. If you are not free, you are not choosing. A slave does not choose. And we were a slave to the devil before Jesus came into our life. So God wants you free. Not free to leave your husband. Not free to move wherever you want. Not free to, I don't know. But free to choose. And what are we to choose, people? It's so simple. It's Deuteronomy 31:19. I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. So that's what you're to choose. Father, I choose the life. I choose a life of blessing and life, not death or cursing. So God wants you free to choose. So you can choose him, so you can choose a better life in him and choose heaven over hell. Choose blessings over cursings. Choose life over death. Amen. Number two, you become his child when you choose Christ and the new birth. The new birth. The new birth. This whole teaching is really focusing on the fact that we've been given a new birth. We are no longer the same. We should not be the same as we were 3 months ago. I'll give you 3 months, okay? Certainly not the same as we were 2 years ago, not the same as we were 10 years ago. We should be changing, amen, because we've been given a whole rebooting, a whole new birth, amen. If you are his child, you are now to identify completely identify completely as his daughter. Either he is your father or he's not. And this is so important, people. What are we identifying with, honestly? Grandma taught it and we bought it? Are we identifying with our parents? Are we identifying with the circle of friends we have? Are we identifying with the money we have or the money we don't have? What are you identifying with? That what your identity is guiding your entire world. Amen? If I think I'm a godly woman, I'm going to behave a certain way. I'm going to go in a certain way because I identify with the king. I'm a daughter of the king. Amen? But if I identify with the world, then I'm going to look very different. I'm going to want to fit in. The praise of man is going to be important to me. Status, money, symbols, all of that. Amen? Because that is what the world is. You got to be very careful, people. Because all that glitters is not gold. Amen? It is not gold. Glory to God. Number three, your parents were given to you by God to be your temporary caretakers. He told me that. He called our parents that. Why? Because God alone is your father, as well as your parents' father. Amen? So, you know, gosh, I mean, I don't know of any family that was perfect. I don't know of any family that walked in love completely. I don't know of any family that walked with God completely. So why would we identify with a fallen system and people that were part of it as opposed to God? We have to identify with God. You know, we've got to leave behind mother and father. Jesus said, if you love mother and father, lands, riches, children, if you love anything more than me, then you are not worthy of me. Amen? So our identification is now the fact that God is our Father. What is your God like? Because you're going to start reflecting God every day of your life. Amen? This world would change overnight if people would identify with God right now. Number four, until we die to the old man, we cannot become the new creation. But according to Christ, we have died to the old because he came specifically to give us a new life, the Zoe life. You know, it's like a little baby crying because you've taken a rotten little torn up crayon from him and he doesn't want to let it go and he's crying because, no, I like this color. It's mine, mommy. And you have a brand new set, a whole new set of crayons, a huge little box with every color under the rainbow. You know, and he's hanging on to a broken crayon. And that's how we are when we hang on to our old life. It's like God came to give you life on the level that he has it. Amen. That's Zoe life. Romans 6:5. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin or Satan, for he who has died has been freed from sin. Now this scripture is replete and pregnant with so many truths and revelations. Amen. We have already been, if Jesus is your Lord, you've already been united together in the likeness of his death. That means you reckon yourself dead to your old life, just as he reckoned his life dead to give you his. Amen? And if we do this, if we identify with the death on the cross that we're supposed to be experiencing right now, then we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. What is that saying to us? That if we don't identify with dying to our old self and the way we used to be, that old stinking dead carcass from the past, then we're not going to be resurrected. We have to die to the old man so that we can become the new creation, the child of God. It's something that we have played with. We have hung on to the old man. We did not want to let it go. This is who I know I am. It took me forever, Pastor Eva, to become this woman. And I don't want to give that up. I think I'm pretty cool. People really like me. I'm very popular. But the thing is that if you do not unite yourself together with the likeness of his death, if you identify with the death, you shall also identify with his resurrection. Knowing that this, that our old man was crucified with him. Your old man was crucified with him. Absolutely. You have been reborn. You have experienced the new birth. That new birth started the process, an eternal process, if you want to know the truth, of becoming the new creation, the race of God, the way Adam and Eve were in the beginning until they messed up. And then look at this picture. I love this. This woman is before the cross, and the cross is the place of change. Now, God has been talking to me quite a lot, and I really, really need you to pay attention here. I have a question for you. If you are not changing daily, even if it's a little here, a little there, a little here, a little there, if you are not changing, are you born again? If you fit right in to the circles that you had 10 years ago, 15 years ago, you're not changing. Because we're supposed to be shifting from the world into God's kingdom, into God's body, into God's family, into God's church. And I believe that if we do not change from the day we got born again, then I don't think you're born again. And I'm serious about this, people. I'm watching the body of Christ in a real counterfeit revival right now, where it's very emotional, it's very surfacey, and, you know, I'm just going to say it, that's part of the plague of the huge, huge churches that you see. There's no way people can keep track of you. There's no way you can become a disciple. Jesus, who is brilliant and knows everything, didn't have a massive church. He should have. He would have made a gazillion more disciples, but he knows how it works. So we've got to check ourselves before we wreck ourselves that we are changing. We must change if we are born again. The mere concept, and Jesus in John 3:3 is the one that said, unless someone is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You must be born again from death to life, from sickness and disease to healing, from weakness to strength. We have to reflect the King whose daughter we are. Amen? So there must be change. We must keep growing. You were supposed to go from a babe in Christ to a child in Christ to a disciple in Christ to a warrior in Christ and then to a conqueror in Christ. There's an evolution that is expected of us. Amen? And we're going to read, hopefully we'll get to the scriptures, but we're going to read some scriptures that absolutely nail this for us. There's no question that Jesus is expecting us to change. Okay? So, Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. I could leave it right there and stop. We have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That's the whole point. He gave himself for you because he loved you. He rescued you from a corrupt, contaminated, narcissistic, egocentric existence and gave you a beautiful blank slate. It was a blank slate. It's genetically encoded with the image and stature of Jesus Christ, but he has allowed you. What are you going to do with this blank slate? What are you going to draw on there? What are you going to write on there? What is going to be the identification on there? Amen? We have been crucified with Christ. This is so important, people. I remember, and I've shared this before, Bill and I got into a bit of a fight, and I said, this was in the early days when I was still, you know, a little fresh, little UCI graduate. I'm half a class away from that. But in my mind, I actually took the whole class. I retook it. It was a disaster. I'll tell you later. I had to opt out of that class because my teacher thought that he was possessed by a female Christ. And it was too late in the semester for me to do anything about it. And then in the middle of all that, God called us into the ministry. So I'm lacking half a class to have my degree. And at this point, it doesn't matter. I have the degree from God. Amen. So I remember we were fighting, you know, arguing, not fighting. We were arguing. And, you know, he said, he was correcting me on something because of my response. And I remember looking at him and telling him, you know what? You can't tell me what to do. I know my rights. And I'll never forget. He turned around and he looked at me and he said, you have no rights. I have no rights. When we got born again, those selfish rights were nailed to the cross. God is the one that gives us our rights. What are our rights? What are our promises? Our right is for life. Our right is to choose. Our right is to be free. But my right was to have my way at that moment, and I was wrong. Amen? We don't have rights that way anymore. And all our married lives, we live trying to establish, this is my right. I have a right to have this house. I have a right to have this many kids. I have, or no kids. I have a right to do this. I have a right to do that. I can dress however I want. It's my body. No, we don't. Read 1 Peter 3 when it talks about the chaste woman and what she should be adorning herself with. Ooh, Eva. Going on. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead, indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 6:11. So, we are supposed to be dead. Dead to what? To the sin nature. And the sin nature doesn't mean, oh, I haven't killed anybody. I hardly ever tell a lie. And I try to do what's right most of the time, at least. People, if we haven't changed, if we haven't transformed, then the sin nature is alive and well in us. We have to change. We must change. Because, you know, I've shared this with you. I tried so hard. Oh my God, only God knows how much I tried because I bear the burden of being a leader in God's body, in the body of Christ. And I know that my testimony, my example is greater than anything else. If I'm not living it, I shouldn't be teaching it. So it was always so important for me to walk in love, to be nice, to be kind, and all of that. And I would try so hard, people, so hard to walk in love, to forgive everybody, to be everything God wanted me to be. And then something would trip me up and I'd go right back to square one. I went like that for about 10, maybe even 15 years on my walk. And I kept thinking, no, if I keep practicing, practice makes perfect. But guess what I found out? That when you embrace your identity as a child of God, then you begin to change from the inside out. And then this is who you are. And now you're not going to get tripped up no matter what comes against you. You know, we're not supposed to be beautiful, godly women or men up until the point when somebody messes with us or ticks us off or there's road rage and now you got to show them what's what. Amen? We are supposed to be those things, not perform them. And that's what happens until you sell out to the new nature. God's word gives each of us a very dire warning about living in the past and about refusing to become the new creation. If we refuse to transform, then we are literally despising all he did for us on the cross. Because he came to set you free from that very old man nature. And ultimately, we are refusing to get ready for the rapture and for heaven. So, I mean, this is serious. If we refuse to transform, we are refusing to get ready for the rapture and for heaven. So, when God sees no change in us, is it because we continue to choose the world instead of holiness? Are we telling God that our past and what we've been through is stronger than the work he accomplished at the cross? Because he separated you at the cross, at your new birth, he separated you from all that garbage. You are operating on memories. Amen? The memories of what happened to me as a child. The memories of what happened to me when, like me, for instance, when I got molested at 3 and 4. It's like, how long was I going to live in those stupid memories of the past when I've been set free from them? Jesus came in on purpose to deliver us from the pains of our traumas and all of that garbage. So next is that we don't need to change even if the world formed us and contaminated us. What Christian in their right mind would think, I don't have to change. I'm a decent human being. But Jesus is my Lord. That person is unaware of the profundity of the corruption that we inherited when we were born into this world. At the age of accountability, when you knew what was right and wrong, that could have been 3 years old for you, that could have been 6 years old for you. Whatever that age was when you died spiritually. And the programming had already gone in. 85% of who you were was from 0 to 6. And the corruption and the selfishness and all of that was already in you. What person would say, I don't need to change? I remember I went witnessing with one of the ladies in our church. She's a little bit younger than me, attractive girl. And we were out there witnessing. And it was in, I believe, in Newport Beach, you know, and some of the houses have little patios and they're real. There's literally a sidewalk and then you have the sand and the beach. So it's very close to the water and it's very nice. A lot of people were out there that day. So we decided to, pastor came with us and he took a group on the other side and, you know, of the actual bridge, the pier. So we were witnessing and trying to pass out tracts. And I remember coming up to these two young men. They didn't have any shirts on. They had their little shorts on. And they were, you know, barbecuing something. And you have their little beers out there. And they were having a little party, basically. And looking at all the girls passing by and so on. I saw them. And I thought, oh, man, those two are good for us to give them a track. So we went up to them. And I said, excuse me, sir, can I give you something that'll take you a minute to read? And he goes, what is it? And I go, it's a tract. I said, my friend and I, we're Christians and we're telling people about Jesus. And he looked at me, and then he looked at the young lady that was with me, and he goes, I'll listen to you if I can have an hour with her. And I looked at him, and I kind of put her behind me, and I said, well, you know, that's not going to happen, but, you know, I can give you this track, and you can read it later if you'd like. And he still continued to kind of try to flirt with the young lady, and then after just, I was persistent, I was very kind, I continued to talk about Jesus, and finally he said, he goes, actually, we're both Christians. He goes, but, he goes, I'll take it, you know, I might even give it to somebody. And then he goes, I have a book for you if you want it. And it was from, I think, Joyce Myers or something like that. He goes, I never read it, but if you want it, you can have it. And I'm thinking to myself, I hope to God that those two young men changed eventually. You think God wants that in heaven? Where they're going to be up there trying to score with other women? They don't want to listen about God? And they're doing their own thing like that? That's what I'm talking about, people. Is that if you think you weren't contaminated, you're in for a very, 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 very rude awakening. From the minute you were accountable, again, from 3 to about 6 years old, when you knew right from wrong, is when you died spiritually. The first time that your mom said, don't do that, or you hit your sister on purpose, and you knew it was wrong, you actually died spiritually. And then, at that point, the old man started growing, growing, and the devil just contaminates. He's very, very hands-on with the old man, just as God is very, very hands-on with the new creation. Amen? So we have to choose what we're going to be, people. And then the last one is that God loves me, and he'll just accept me as I am. You know, God loves you. God loves everybody that's perishing in hell. It doesn't mean that he can save them out of there. By everyone's choice, we will end up where we will end up. That's a fact. You know, is it works righteousness? Do I have to behave now and say everything perfect? Every day of your life till you leave this earth, you're going to blow it. That's not what it's about. The grace of God covers that as we continue to change and grow and mature. Amen? Praise God. 2 Peter 2:20, for if after they have escaped, he's talking about believers, for if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome by them. By what? The pollutions, the corruption, the toxicity, the evil that's in the world. Amen. If they are again entangled in them and overcome by those desires, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them according to the true proverb. A dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow, a pig, having washed, to her wallowing in the mire, in the mud, in the feces, in the refuse, all of it. The pig has just been cleansed completely, and they're right back to the mud and the pollutions. Amen? So, this is very serious, people. We are to walk away from the world. We are to look very different from the world. I want to see something very quickly. I don't know if this person is on tonight, but there was an opportunity for someone to... they were already considerably wealthy, serious tither, constantly in church, always helping. I mean, they did their part in the church, teaching both the husband and the wife. Very precious couple. And they had the opportunity to make like a lot of millions of dollars through this company in Mexico who wanted to use them to establish a distribution type of thing for a lot of liquor from Mexico, a lot of beers and stuff like that. And they called me and they said, I need your counsel. And let me tell you, I've seen people justify and, you know, try to explain why this is going to be good for me. I'm going to take the chance because I know I'm going to do a lot of good for God. That never works out. The minute you compromise to get something like that, you're already off, and it's going to keep taking you off and further away from God. I'm telling you, the things of God bring you closer to God. When God blesses, it brings you on fire for God. You are grateful to God. You give him your life, amen, when it's truly from God. And not everything that glitters is gold. So this person called me, and they said, you know, I will walk away from this. I know this person. They're my friend. You know, I've known them for a long time. This could be very profitable. I mean, in the millions they were going to make. In the millions, people. I'm not kidding. And I gave them my counsel and I told them, no, I don't, you know, I said, unfortunately, you know, because of what they are intending to distribute here in America, I said, I don't know that God would look upon that as something being godly. And we talked for a little while and this person yielded just very precious and said, okay, I'll walk away from this. Because I want to stay close to God. God means more to me than anything. That's reality, people. That's a true believer. How many of us could resist millions and millions and millions of dollars? You know? And they've had to work hard for what they have. Hebrews 10:38. Now the just, which is you, if you're born again, now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. We started off our walks, people, in love with God, completely in faith. It was the most beautiful thing that ever happened to us. We were so excited. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. We were in church every time the doors opened. Everything was wonderful. Because we were in faith. We got born again by faith, and we were in faith. But then we started drawing back. We started pulling back from the intensity and the pace that we started off with. And now the soul of the Lord has no pleasure in us. He's only blessed and pleased when we're pushing against the current of this world. When you are saying no. When you're invited to some party and you know it's not going to be a good place, and you know it's not going to be a good thing, and you say no, and they get upset with you. What's wrong with you? You know, you've become really weird, you know, and who cares? Who cares what they think of you? I'm hearing Proverbs and Ecclesiastes over and over and over again. And one of the scriptures says that, oh my gosh, it just went out of my mind. It'll come back. The Holy Spirit will remind me. First Peter 2:20 in the Amplified Version. If they've escaped from the slum of sin. I'm sorry, but the Amplified said it so well, I couldn't resist putting it on here. If they've escaped from the slum of sin by experiencing our Master and Savior, Jesus Christ, and then slid back into that same old life again, they're worse than if they had never left the old life. Better not to have started out on the straight road to God than to start out and then turn back, repudiating the experience and the holy commandment. They prove the point of the Proverbs. A dog goes back to his own vomit. And a scrubbed up pig heads for the mud. Oh my God, people. I mean, if any of us ever saw a dog throw up violently and then 15 minutes later come back and try to lick that up, we would be so disgusted. But that's what God calls us. When we go back into the world, this journey is forward, not forward three steps, oh, take a little detour to the right, take a little detour to the left, and then maybe look back a little bit, or remember the good old days and all of that, or the bad old days and why they affected me so much. We are supposed to be going forward. She who rejects change is the architect of decay. A woman rejecting change can manifest in various ways, stemming from fear, comfort in the familiar, or a preference for the status quo, the world, or who she is. What is this saying? That a lot of times we resist change because we're afraid of it. What is going to happen to me? That's a control freak. An anxious person that has to be in control all the time of everything. I can't change because I don't know who that's going to be. So fear and then comfort in the familiar. This is what I'm used to. I've been this person for 73 years old. I don't want to change. I don't even know how to do that. Okay? Or a preference for the status quo. In other words, status quo is the way things are right now, the way they keep going. So are we preferring the world and who we are right now? It's like, you know, it is what it is. This is who I am. So this resistance can be seen in personal relationships, career paths, or even broader life decisions. So you may think, oh, you know, I'm just refusing to change for God. The whole time it's affecting everything in your life. We are to be changing in every area of our life, people. So career paths or even broader life decisions. Understanding the reasons behind this resistance is crucial for navigating these situations effectively. If you are afraid, start getting in the Word so your faith will grow and you will trust God and the process. You're going to metamorphose. You're going to transform. You're going to go from glory to glory. You are not going to stay the same, and I beg you not to stay the same. Change to me, change is the narrow path, the narrow gate, the eye of the needle that we're supposed to go through. Change, change, change. It confirms we are born again. It confirms we're growing. It confirms we're learning. It confirms we're trusting God. Change is inevitable. Change is going to come, even if you think you're controlling everything and it's not going to. Change is inevitable. What else is also inevitable is failure for those who refuse to change. This is so important, people. You may think, I don't need to change. I'm not going to keep listening to Pastor Eva. Okay, don't change. But guess what? It's happening all around you. And with people all around you, and in this world, can you not see this world is changing like crazy? So if you refuse to change, you're going to fail. You're going to fail. The person that is willing to change can adapt, can learn, can grow. You cannot be sedentary. Sometimes, and people, I love you. Please do not get offended. This is me now being honest with you as your sister who loves you and is trying to help you get ready. But sometimes I get around people that are not growing, and it is horrible. It is horrible to see a believer stuck in the mud. There's a stench about them that they're kind of rotting. When we are changing, we are renewing, we are transforming, we are growing, we are fresh, we're bearing good fruit. You've heard the expression, oldie and moldy? That's very true. There's nothing more beautiful than a woman who is growing and excelling, and you see her changing, and she's striving for the high ground. She's striving to identify with her God. That person's alive. That person is beautiful to watch. And I've seen some of you in this church in that path. And then I see some of you stuck in the mud, stuck in the mud for 30 years. Get unstuck with the help of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is helping me right now in something that's very important to me. He is so amazing, and He is so kind, and He is so helpful, and He is such great power in our lives, people. The next quote, true change is always from within, not from without. If you are identifying with your external world, you're already in trouble. God is not impressed. Whether you're starving to death and are homeless, or whether you're living in a mansion and you've got millions in the bank, God is only interested in the inner man. God is only interested in you on the inside. God is interested in you spiritually. That is the person that will end up with Him. The minute you die, everything you own is going to get left behind. You can't take it with you. You will not take a huge rock of diamond and say, God, look at what my wealth bought. He's going to look at that and laugh. His streets are paved with gold. That's what God thinks of gold. No. Real change is always from within, not from without. And after a while, as pastors, we begin to see that, people. We begin to see that, you know what? It's what's going on inside of you that matters to us, not the outside. Because we've seen the outside pull people away from God. It pulls them away from God. When it's something of God, it pulls you towards Him. You begin to love Him. You begin to be His partner. Amen. Next, a person who refuses change fails to grow. That's a fact. You're not going to grow. When you change, it causes growth. When you grow, it causes change. These two beautiful things work in synchronization. Amen. The last one, you can't change what you refuse to confront. Now, I started off this whole thing telling you that the greatest thing you'll ever come on this earth is you. You're going to be your worst enemy or your greatest friend. You're going to be your own stumbling block, or you're going to be the ready runner that jumps over those hurdles like they're nothing. And when you confront yourself, your stinky little nature, like I've had to over and over again, when you look at yourself and you say, you know what? I see what I am, and I'm not going to kid myself. I need to change. I need to grow. And I will continue to say this till the day I leave this earth, that the only way we change is through God. In the world, people change, but it's always with the angle that this change is going to profit me. Only through God do we become the genuine article. We change because we want to. We change because we identify with God. We change because we're getting ready for heaven. Change only happens through God. You can read a million self-help books, which I practically did. You can follow every psychologist, take courses, read a lot of psychology articles. Nothing will change you but God. And if you don't believe me, keep going the way you are, and one day you'll find out. This is something I learned the hard way. I tried with every fiber of my being. I almost killed myself trying so hard to be everything God wanted me to be. And it wasn't until I let the Word of God get into me and start changing me very naturally, it's almost miraculous the way God does it with the Word. All you have to do, my sisters and my brothers, is set yourself to the Word, and the Word itself will begin to change you. Amen.